If you will repeat after me, Father.
Father.
I thank you that my ears do hear.
Thank you that my ears do hear.
My eyes do see.
My eyes do see.
And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
What your spirit is saying to me.
What your spirit is saying to me.
Amen. Amen. I want to take you to James chapter 4, of all places. And I know you're going to say, oh my God, there goes the pride again. No, we're not going after the pride. We're going after verse 13, boasting about tomorrow. Boasting about tomorrow. James 4, 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? And then, incredible it may sound, he says, you're a mist. You are a mist that appears for a little while. And then vanishes. And I said, Lord, our spirit being is a mist. And we'll go on after that in a moment. Verse 15, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. You say, ouch, that is a little bit of a sneaky little piece of info. But I want to take you about the mist and our being spirit beings. And I want to take you to Job 32, verse 8. That's Job 32, verse 8. But it is the spirit in a man that breathes of the Almighty that gives him understanding. So now that gives you a clue as to what part of your being releases understanding inside of us. It is the spirit in a man that breathes of the Almighty that gives him understanding. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Proverbs 20, 27. The lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. It searches out his inmost being. Yeah. That's confirmed in Ecclesiastes 3:21. So the lamp of the Lord. Who's the lamp of the Lord?
Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Holy Spirit. On the job. Doing and searching. He is not searching out your soul. He's searching out what?
Spirit.
Your spirit. So if you leave your spirit dormant and never develop it, what's going to happen?
You'll be dormant and never developed.
Huh?
You'll be dormant and never developed.
That's correct. Exactly. You're choosing your future. You say, well, I haven't got this and I haven't got that, because the reason you haven't got is because you don't ask. And a lot of times we'd ask without conviction. I want to give you one more. Ecclesiastes 12:7, which is a scripture that I couldn't digest for many years, and I didn't understand. And it says, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Mm. You see, they only quote the beginning of that verse when you go to a funeral.
Yes.
And on Monday,
they quoted it.
Yeah, they did. But what did we do? What did you and I do with? We took oil.
Oh, yes.
We put it on the casket. And we said, but to the Spirit. And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. So we did an act of faith by putting oil to cancel the dust. Not that we should insult anyone, but there are times that you will overrule a bad thought with a better idea from God. And that better idea is that the Spirit within you is a lot more effective and powerful than this little earth suit that you have for 30, 60, 90, 100 years, whatever. Amen? Acts 7:59. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. Watch this word. Lord Jesus, receive my soul or receive my spirit. What did he say? Receive my spirit. So, do you think Jesus received and was bent out of shape over this death? No.
No.
A lot of times we think death is the end. But in reality, Stephen's body was there and remained there. But his spirit was with Jesus immediately. But the trick the enemy tried on you could have been tried then. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Which part of you is being renewed day by day? Your spirit being. And for years, I didn't even know I had one. I'm talking about a reality check here. I'm talking about my reality check about my having a spirit probably came when I was in my early 40s. And even then I doubted because the teachers weren't Catholic. I'm being honest. They weren't. So obviously they didn't have the right Bible, the one that's approved. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm not being critical. That's where I lived. Okay? And the Holy Spirit was on my case. Has he been on your case? Maybe he's on your case more than you realize. And the biggest threat that I received from Pastor Gino was, okay, Kim, develop your spirit. Get with it. Activate. Do it. Use it. And you know what? I thank God for him. Because if I would have listened to other teachers, I probably would have laid dormant and just coasted down the river of life. But God put him in my life to irritate me.
Amen.
Now, you didn't have to agree.
Well, you're still insane now.
I know.
Don't say anybody else.
But you understand, sometimes you're going to be irritated by the very thing that will end up being your salvation. Yeah. And that irritation is because your soul, which is what you were testified, about your soul, your mind, will, and emotions are on a journey. And they want to rule and they don't want to give in to the spirit man. So, learning about different pieces to the puzzle. Over the years, there were seasons in my life where I would get a message from the Lord, carry the ball, even though there was laughter behind me, even though there were insults, a little dagger here and a little dagger there and a strange glance. Strange because they didn't understand. Who gives understanding? The Spirit. Why does the Holy Spirit give understanding? Because it's an awakening of the reality of your creation. And so, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says, you're made up by St. Paul, three parts, spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit being living in this earth suit. It's an earth suit. You need one of these to live on the earth. You have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and they develop. And then it rules. You give it an inch, it thinks it can rule, and it will rule, as long as you allow it. And when you start bringing it into some form of obedience, it raises a storm. And that's where many of you have tasted over the years. And some of you are saying, I wonder if that's what's wrong with me. It's not that there's anything wrong with you. It's really the beginning of a new walk with who you are and what you are and what you are to become. And, you know, we talked about Peter a little bit before. And when Peter was, let's say, aware for the first time that he could deny the Lord, he had no understanding of what was really inside of him. But he learned. And when he learned, he didn't like what he learned. And what I'm trying to tell you now is that as you go forward, your free will's involved. You can develop your spirit if you want. You can also say, I want to let it sleep for the next 6 years or 10 years or 20 years or until I go home. I'm satisfied. And wherever you decide that you're satisfied, he'll respect your decision. And that for me was very difficult for a while because I could see people start developing. I would watch their choices and they'd get to a certain level and then they'd throw the towel in and go right back to the old patterns. Instead of taking faith, declaring what they are by faith, saying the words, even though the unbelief was there saying, you can never be like them. And that happened to me. There was a season where I was pressing in to go forward, and I was pushing and pushing. I could see others gaining, and I was sitting dormant. And it's because I needed to make that quality decision. Come hell or high water, Lord, I'm not going to stay the way I am. I don't care what the price is. I don't care if I burn. It's in the process. It's still okay. And I had an incident that happened in my office many years back. And when I described it to Pastor Gino, because it was a challenging moment, very challenging. But I made a decision. I was either going to trust God or I was going to trust the doctors and I was going to trust the 911 because I could have done any of those. And when I told him what had happened, he needed to be aware. He says, oh, you had your white funeral. White funeral? Didn't know there was such an animal. That white funeral was that it wasn't black. There was no real death. He said, you followed your spirit instead of following your emotions. You would have let your body die rather than follow all the good ideas that are in your head at that moment. And all those good ideas that were in my head, I could have given you a list. But instead, I heard the Holy Spirit say, just lay down and I'll take care of you. And there was a question, what if I die? Well, don't bury me Wednesday. No big deal. Because to die is gain. If he decided to take me home, it was going to be okay. So I laid down on the floor. I didn't take time to take a pillow because there was too much pain in my body. I did not go hunting for anything. I laid down. I began to pray in the spirit. And as I prayed in the spirit, laying on the floor, because if you're on the floor, you can't fall. Right? So I was already there. That was a plus, isn't it? Okay. So I'm laying on the floor right next to my desk, praying in the spirit. I'm alone in the building. There's not another person there. In fact, I wasn't supposed to be there because he had given me permission to live inside my office area. And I wasn't supposed to tell anybody because it was a privilege. When I think of it, broke all the rules. Not supposed to be in the building after X amount of time or whatever. All the alarms were on, so as far as anybody who would drive by, they would never know that I was there. So they would have had a hard time to find me, right? But I remember praying in the spirit, and I went out. I literally passed out. About, I would say, maybe, I'm guessing, 45 minutes, an hour. I don't know how much time went by. But when I woke up, the pain was gone. Well, that was kind of, you know, cool. Yeah, Lord, you took care of me. Thank you. He said, but tomorrow you call Dr. Trump. Not that night, tomorrow. So I went to bed, slept like a baby, woke up the next day, no pain, called Dr. Trump, made an appointment. He sent me for an ultrasound, and come to find out, what I was having was a gallbladder attack, and I had had my gallbladder removed 5 years before. But the pain was so excruciating that I thought it was that, but I didn't know if it was, because logic says they took out your gallbladder 5 years ago. How can you be having a gallbladder attack? How come you're having so much pain? Because the inside of my body was ready to explode. This is what I learned after they did an endoscopy and they did the ultrasound. Actually, when she was in the process of taking it, I saw the stones in the bile duct. And one of those stones was made just like a heart, okay? And it went right into the duct and blocked it completely. So actually, I was exploding, and that's why the pain was so excruciating. Now, how did God do it? I have no clue. But I know they went down with an endoscopy a few days later, and they put you to half asleep, you know?
Twilight, they call it.
Well, I was not in twilight. I heard every word. I was not in twilight at all. So they did their crushing bit, and they broke two of them and got rid of those two. And then he says, there's too much blood in there now. We can't continue. And this doctor was huge, not maybe like as big as the King Og there. But he was at least 6'6", and he probably weighed about 350. And everybody called him Teddy Bear because he was so big. Because I had said to him, you know, I heard the next day, well, he came after, you know, in the recovery room, and he said, we got to keep you overnight because you got to get the next ones. Oh, I says, yeah. I says, and you got to go back in there. You only got two stones. What's wrong with you? And so he says, how come you know all that? He says, you won't know anything tomorrow. I'll fix it. And he did. He fixed it. I got the other three removed and never had a problem since. But what am I saying to you? Did God know the end before the beginning?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Could I have called 911? Mm-hmm. Would I have gone around the mountain 2 or 3 more times? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yes, maybe no. But there was a funeral there that day. I know there was. There was no burial. But you see, the choice was that I would choose to trust him. And I'm not recommending this to go out there and make it happen, because that's dumb. Literally dumb. Don't do that. But if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and said, don't follow them, go this way, follow him. If he said, don't call 911, lay down on the floor. Lay down on the floor. Obey. That's my press to you. Close your eyes now. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
You haven't done your counseling yet.
You're
not done with me yet.
You've got a lot more ways to go.
And I'm asking for the grace. When I need to face something, that you'll provide the grace, the favor, and then the courage to carry it out,
to
overcome the fear of death,
to overcome the fear of exposure,
and the fear of shame,
because I won't bow to that stuff.
God did not give me a spirit of fear.
God did not give me a spirit of fear.
He gave me power,
love,
and a sound mind.
And that's what I have.
His love,
His power,
and His mind.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's all she wrote. So, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Any additions? No addict. No addict. No addict. No addict.